Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, Lashana Tova. Happy New Year to you all. Today's Tishri 1, Monday the 26th of September 2022, and we're reading about what happened on the sixth day of creation from the Legends of the Jews, section 1, part 1. Hallelujah. We have learned so much so far about the animals that Yahweh created. And we are still reading about them. We haven't even got to the part where mankind was created. But let's keep going. We are still reading from verse 61 about the Shamir. So we rounded up by reading about how it is to be preserved so that nothing happens to it before it finishes its job. The Shamir, as we have learned in the previous audio, this is part 8 audio. As we have learned in this previous audio, it is a worm. Hallelujah. So it is to be kept wrapped up in a woolen cloth, and this in turn is placed in a lead basket filled with barley bran. The Shamir was guarded in paradise until Solomon needed it. So basically Yahweh created it, but he held on to it until the time of King Solomon on earth, when King Solomon needed to build the holy temple, the first holy temple. So Yahweh sent the eagle thither to fetch the worm, or maybe Solomon sent the eagle thither to fetch the worm. With the destruction of the temple, the Shamir vanished. Oh dear. A similar fate overtook the Tahash, which had been created only that its skin might be used for the tabernacle. Tahash is not an easy word to translate. It's difficult for anybody to know what it was, but its skin was definitely used in the building of the tabernacle. So Yahweh gave instructions on how to build the tabernacle and the temple, and he provided the materials that were required for them to be built. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Once the tabernacle was completed, the Tahash disappeared. It had a horn on its forehead. See? Sort of like a unicorn, was gaily colored like the turkey cock, and belonged to the class of clean animals. The class of clean animals. You hear that? It belonged to the class of clean animals. That's interesting. That's no one that was used to build the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was for a clean people, and it was also meant to be clean itself. Among the fishes, there are also wonderful creatures, the sea gods and the dolphins, not to mention the Leviathan. A seafaring man once saw a sea god. That's interesting, a sea god. Remember, we were told on the fifth day that whatever was formed on the earth is whatever we are told on this day that whatever was formed on the land is a copy of what is in the waters, but not everything in the water is on the land. So a seafaring man once saw a sea god on whose horns the words were inscribed, "I am a little sea animal, yet I traversed 300 parasangs to offer myself as food to the Leviathan." So a sea goat is food to the Leviathan. The dolphins are half man and half fish. That's very interesting. We tend to call half man, half fish mermaids. But Yahweh, the dolphin, is a half man, half fish. And they even have sexual intercourse with human beings. Therefore, they are called also sons of the sea. Okay. For in a sense, they represent the humankind in the waters. So they are the pinnacle of creation in the waters, whereas the... Oh my goodness, this is, I just... Okay. While mankind is the pinnacle of creation on earth. Though every species in the animal world was created during the last 2 days of the six of creation, yet many characteristics of certain animals appeared later. So cats and mice, foes now, were friends originally. Their later enmity had a distinct cause. On one occasion, the mouse appeared before Yah and spoke, "I and the cat are partners, but now we have nothing to eat." The Lord Yahweh answered, "Thou art intriguing against thy companion, only that thou mayest devour her. As a punishment, she shall devour thee." Thereupon the mouse, "O Lord of the world, wherein have I done wrong?" Yah replied, "O thou unclean reptile, thou shouldst have been warned by the example of the moon, who lost a part of her light because she spake ill of the sun, and what she lost was given to her opponent. The evil intentions thou didst harbor against thy companion shall be punished in the same way. Instead of thy devouring her, she shall devour thee." The mouse replied, "O Lord of the world, shall my whole kind be destroyed?" Yah said, "I will take care of that. I will take care that a remnant of thee is spared." In her rage, the mouse bit the cat, and the cat in turn threw herself upon the mouse and hacked into her with her teeth until she lay dead. Since that moment, the mouse stands in such awe of the cat that she does not even attempt to defend herself against her enemy's attacks, and always keeps herself in hiding. Similarly, dogs and cats maintained a friendly relation to each other and only later on became enemies. A dog and a cat were partners, and they shared with each other whatever they had. It once happened that neither could find anything to eat for 3 days. Thereupon the dog proposed that they dissolve their partnership. The cat should go to Adam, in whose house there would surely be enough for her to eat, while the dog should seek his fortune elsewhere. Before they separated, they took an oath never to go to the same master. The cat took up her abode with Adam, and she found sufficient mice in his house to satisfy her appetite. Seeing how useful she was in driving him away, in driving away and extirpating mice, Adam treated her most kindly. The dog, on the other hand, saw bad times. The first night after their separation, he spent in the cave of the wolf, who had granted him a night's lodging. At night, the dog caught the sound of steps, and he reported it to his host, who bade him repulse the intruders. They were wild animals. Little lacked, and the dog would have lost his life. Dismayed, the dog fled from the house of the wolf and took refuge with the monkey, but he would not grant him even a single night's lodging, and the fugitive was forced to appeal to the hospitality of the sheep. Again, the dog had steps in the middle of the night. Obeying the bidding of his host, he arose to chase away the marauders, and who turned out to be wolves. The barking of the dog apprised the wolves of the presence of the sheep, so that the dog innocently caused the sheep's death. Now he had lost his last friend. Night after night he begged for shelter without ever finding a home. Finally, he decided to repair to the house of Adam, who also granted him refuge for one night. When wild animals approached the house under cover of darkness, the dog began to bark. Adam awoke, and with his bow and arrow, he drove them away. Recognizing the dog's usefulness, he bade him remain with him always. But as soon as the cat espied the dog in Adam's house, she began to quarrel with him and reproached him with having broken his oath to her. Adam did his best to pacify the cat. He told her he had himself invited the dog to make his home there, and he assured her she would in no wise be the loser by the dog's presence. He wanted both to stay with him, but it was impossible to appease the cat. The dog promised her not to touch anything intended for her. She insisted that she could not live in one and the same house with a thief like the dog. Bickerings between the dog and the cat became the order of the day. Finally, the dog could stand it no longer, and he left Adam's house and betook himself to Seth's. By Seth, he was welcomed kindly, and from Seth's house, he continued to make efforts at reconciliation with the cat in vain. Yes, the enmity between the first dog and the first cat was transmitted to all their descendants until this very day. See, a lot of verses, a lot of words and sentences have been invested in trying to make us understand the relationship between the cat and the dog, as well as the mouse and the cat. This is not a waste of time, because simple things like that are things we wonder about constantly in life. We ask ourselves questions about these things and we cannot answer them. Only the word of Yah can answer them, brethren, because he is the creator. And this is why it is important to go back to the beginning of time so as to understand what happened in the beginning. Hallelujah. To understand the foundation of everything around us. Hallelujah. All right, let's keep reading. There's still so much more to read. May Yah help us. The sixth day is not easy at all, but you know, is Yahweh will make it easy for us in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Amen. Let's read from verse 63. Even the physical peculiarities of certain animals were not original features with them, but owed their existence to something that occurred subsequent to the days of creation. Hallelujah. The physical peculiarities of certain animals. The mouse at first had quite a different mouth from its present mouth. In Noah's Ark, in which all animals, to ensure the preservation of every kind, lived together peaceably, the pair of mice were once sitting next to the cat. Suddenly, the latter, so the cat, remembered that her father was in the habit of devouring mice, and thinking there was no harm in following his example, she jumped at the mouse, who vainly looked for a hole into which to slip out of sight. Then a miracle happened. A hole appeared where none had been before, and the mouse sought refuge in it. The cat pursued the mouse, and though she could not follow her into the hole, she could insert her paw and try to pull the mouse out of her covert. Quickly, the mouse opened her mouth in the hope that the paw would go into it, and the cat would be prevented from fastening her claws in her flesh. But as the cavity of the mouth was not big enough, the cat succeeded in clawing the cheeks of the mouse. Not that this happened much. This helped her much. It merely widened the mouth of the mouse, and her prey, after all, escaped the cat. After her happy escape, the mouse betook herself to Noah and said to him, "O pious man, be good enough to sew up my cheek where my enemy the cat has torn a rent in it." Noah bade her fetch a hair out of the tail of the swine, and with this he repaired the damage. That's interesting. Out of the tail of the swine. The swine is pigs. Thence the little seam-like line next to the mouth of every mouse to this every day. Hallelujah. This is very interesting to learn. There's so much that has happened over the years between animals that is passed down the generations. So it's not just generations of human beings, it's generations of animals as well. That's something we are learning through this reading. Okay, let's keep reading. The raven is another animal that changed its appearance during its sojourn in the ark. When Noah desired to send him forth to find out about the state of the waters, he hid under the wings of the eagle. Noah found him, however, and said to him, "Go and see whether the waters have diminished." The raven pleaded, "Hast thou none other among all the animals to send on this errand?" Noah said, "My power extends no farther than over thee and the dove." But the raven was not satisfied. He said to Noah with great insolence, so he was rude and disrespectful, "Thou sendest me forth only that I may meet my death, and thou wishest my death, that my wife may be at thy service." Thereupon Noah cursed the raven thus, "May thy mouth, which has spoken evil against me, be accursed, and thy intercourse with thy wife be only through it." Oh my God. All the animals in the ark said amen. Wow, the ark was like heaven, so things could be heard from one end to another. And this is the reason, so let's continue reading. "And this is the reason why a mass of spittle runs from the mouth of the male raven into the mouth of the female during the act of copulation, and only thus the female is impregnated." Oh my goodness. This is interesting. Although the raven is an attractive animal, he is unkind toward his own young so long as their bodies are not covered with black feathers. Though, as a rule, ravens love one another. Yah therefore takes the young ravens under his special protection. From their own excrement, maggots come forth, which serve as their food during the 3 days that elapse after their birth, until their white feathers turn black and their parents recognize them as their offspring and care for them. So that was verse 64 I was reading. Now let's carry on verse 65. The raven has himself to blame also for the awkward hop in his gait. He observed the graceful step of the dove and envious of her tried to emulate it. So the raven was jealous of the dove before in terms of the walking. The outcome was that he almost broke his bones without in the least succeeding in making himself resemble the dove, not to mention that he brought the scorn of the other animals down upon himself. His failure excited their ridicule. Oh no. Then he decided to return to his own original gait, but in the interval he had unlearnt it, and he could walk neither the one way nor the other properly. His step had become a hop betwixt and between. Wow. So the ravens can no longer walk properly, they have to hop. His step had become a hop betwixt and between. Thus we see how true it is that he who is dissatisfied with his small portion loses the little he has in striving for more and better things. There's a parable about this that Jesus said. All right, let's carry on verse 66. The steer, another animal, is also one of the animals that have suffered a change in the course of time. Steer is S-T-E-E-R. Originally, his face was entirely overgrown with hair, but now there is none on his noose. On his nose, sorry. But now there is none on his nose. And that is because Joshua or Yahushua kissed him on his nose during the siege of Jericho. Interesting. Joshua or Yahushua, the son of Nun, was an exceedingly heavy man. Horses, donkeys, and mules, none could bear him. They all broke down under his weight. What they could not do, the steer accomplished. Wow. So Joshua or Yahushua, the son of Nun, was too heavy to be carried by donkeys, mules, and horses. This is interesting to learn. You see, they keep talking about the future as well as the present, as well as the past. So you have to keep focused to understand. You know, Yahweh saw the beginning, the end, and the middle. And this is why we kept singing the song that he's Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle, and the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, Yahweh, Yahushua HaMashiach, and Mama Shekinah glory. Amen in Yahushua's name. All right. So Joshua broke the back of a horse. Don't know if you've read that. So horses, donkeys, and mules, none could bear him. They all broke down under his weight. What they could not do, the steer accomplished. On his back, Joshua or Yahushua, the son of Nun, rode to the siege of Jericho, and in gratitude he bestowed a kiss upon the nose of the steer. Now when he kissed it, the hair that had overgrown on his face entirely disappeared. Oh my goodness. That's very interesting information. Okay. The serpent too is other than it was at first. This is verse 67. I don't think we should continue reading now. Let's continue with the next audio. I'm going to stop here for now. Hopefully we will get to the part where we're supposed to read about man very soon. I may have to skip the part about all creatures giving praise unto Yahweh. All right, Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, and Lashana Tova. Remain blessed in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Amen.